As he entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, beseeching him, and saying, "Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home in terrible distress." And he said to him, "I will come and heal him." But the centurion answered him, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, with soldiers under me, and I say to one, 'Go,' and he goes, and to another, 'Come,' and he comes, and to my slave, 'Do this,' and he does it." When Jesus heard him, he marveled, and said to those who followed him, "Truly I say to you, not even in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from the east and west and sit at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. There men will weep and gnash their teeth." And to the centurion Jesus said, "Go, it will be done for you as you believed." And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and served him. That evening they brought to him many who were possessed with demons, and he cast the spirits out with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah: "He took our infirmities and bore our diseases." The Gospel of the Lord. According to Matthew, Jesus came down from the mountain where he had been teaching the disciples to be met by the leper, whom he cured. He then proceeded to Capernaum, sometimes known as the Field of Consolation, where he encountered the centurion. This reflects that after the purification of the Jews, he came to the Gentiles. This centurion is one of the several mentioned in the scriptures, and they always appear to be good men. They were the backbone of the Roman army, something akin to the warrant officers of the present day. They were under orders, but gave orders themselves, each being charge of 100 men, hence their title. As man, Jesus is under the authority of God the Father, but he has authority given to him by the Father, with whom he shares authority as God the Son. This humble centurion would not have heard Christ preaching or seen him cure the leper. He would not be familiar with the law or the prophets, for he was a Gentile. However, he believed because he had heard the actions of Christ. So he typified, in a way, the Gentiles who followed, who also had not heard the law or studied the prophets, but believed in him. Christ, when he heard this good man, saw into his heart. He did not just hear his words. So perhaps for the benefit of those around him, said that he was astounded. Many others would also be astounded by this particular soldier's action, because slaves were regarded merely as living tools to be discarded when they were too old or sick or broken and worn out, but were easily replaceable. Yet here was this centurion, this Gentile, praying to Jesus for his sick servant, which reflects perhaps the first Gentiles who prayed to God for the salvation of the whole sick world. Jesus immediately and without hesitation responds to his prayer, as Jesus always does. But more than that, he is willing not just to heal the servant, but actually go and visit the servant, showing that he is generous with his answers to prayer, For it was unheard of that a Jew would enter the house of a Gentile, because a house of a Gentile was considered unclean. Here, Jesus teaches us another lesson, that is, to respect and love the poorest and least of the people as much as we respect the great. Jesus does not disdain to enter our bodies in Holy Communion, yet he is great beyond compare. The centurion says that Jesus need not come to his house, for it was not fitting for a Jew to enter a Gentile house, that Jesus is concerned only with hearts and souls that are not clean, not houses. He then speaks of the heavenly banquet at which all Jews would sit down to feast. Thou hast reserved them to be devoured by whom thou wilt and when, Ezra 4, and Behemoth shall be revealed from his place, and Leviathan shall ascend from the sea, and then they shall be food for all that are left. For the Jews anticipated this great heavenly feast and had no notion that Gentiles would sit down to it. Not only that, but Jesus says that many shall come from the east and the west and sit down at the banquet. But, frightening for the Jews, he adds that many of the kingdom will be shut out. Shock, horror. The banquet will be for the faithful and merciful, because they have the faith of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And there will be eternal light and joy. It will not be solely for the people of one particular nation, just as the bread of life is available for all who have faith. Miracles drew strength away from Jesus. He would have been tired and in need of a rest at Peter's house. But here there was no immediate rest because he was confronted by another's need for his help. It is a lesson for us that even when we are exhausted, we are given strength to help the needy when necessary. Here, there was no publicity, no crowds to impress, just a poor, sick, elderly woman in a fisherman's house. Yet, his love and his power were used equally as if in a place of importance, which shows that whatever gifts we have are for everyone and not just the important or well-known people. The gifts we have are not for showing off to crowds, but for use wherever and whenever they are needed. It also shows us that this mother-in-law used her restored health to serve others immediately. She obviously did not make the most of her time in recuperation to be waited on, and did not, as it is sometimes referred to, enjoy ill health. She clearly regarded her healing as the opportunity to serve others. This again is a lesson to us. Why are we given gifts at all if they are not to be used anywhere and for anyone who needs them?